So I'd now like to introduce our guest speaker, Jerry Flynn, and he'll explain what his qualifications are because I'm sure he can do a better job than I can. So please welcome Jerry.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for making the effort to come out. Can everybody hear me all right? I have a long military background. I spent 27 years in the Royal Canadian Navy, which became the Canadian Armed Forces. I spent the best part of those 27 years in radio communications, but I was in signals intelligence, electronic warfare, radio warfare. So I know quite a bit about, I know a lot about radio communications, wireless radio communications. And your cell phone, your router, your laptop, all of those things are transmitters. So they're no different in principle than the stuff that I work with in the military. Most of this stuff that you have today in our society was created by the military 50 years ago. And most of the problems with microwave we knew 50 years ago. It's just that the military and private industry and governments have suppressed it so they could take financial advantage of it. The matter of in 2010, the BC government, Gordon Campbell, for whom I voted, they introduced Bill C-17, which is the Clean Air Act. And that stipulated, actually it mandated the electric utilities, it ordered them to install smart meters on all our homes. We don't have any choice, we don't have any alternative, we don't have any option. Cannot opt out. That was bad enough. That was anti-democratic. So you can't blame the electric utilities for installing the meters. And by the way, they have a right to come on your property, whether you're home or not. The only thing they cannot do by legislation, and I have a copy of the act, they cannot come into your home. Like if your meter's inside your home or inside your apartment building, they cannot do that. But they can come onto your property, you know, open your gate, come in and take it off whether you're there or not, whether you object to it or not, unless you notify the government that you're against smart meters, which we can get into later on. Governing, can everyone hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Governing everything that transmits, like your AM radio stations, your FM radio stations, your TV stations, that's all governed by Health Canada. Health Canada, they determine the levels of radiation that any of these stations or your Wi-Fi or your cell phone, your smartphone, they're allowed to emit. And Health Canada has come along and they've developed this thing called Safety Code 6. Safety Code 6, they will tell you endlessly that this protects us. In reality, it does not. In reality, our standards are one of the lowest in the world. I can prove it. Anything I say, I can prove. If anybody wants to contact me afterwards, I will give you websites. You can look for yourself. Health Canada, like every other government in the world, did not do their own studies to establish their own guidelines. Instead, they went to industry and they simply took industry's studies that were funded by industry, conducted by industry, and they simply adopted those standards, and they are what constitute our Safety Code 6. Industry studies are based strictly on thermal. To industry, and this is all in the, right around the world, to industry, I'll use the term electromagnetic radiation, okay? But allow me to abbreviate it to EMR. Rather than keep saying electromagnetic, I'll call it EMR. EMR comes from virtually everything that has electricity, like your light bulbs here, your fluorescent lights, your house wiring, the dryer you dry your hair with, your electric toothbrush, the lamp on your big night table, all of your appliances, they all emit electromagnetic radiation. If it And there's a real division here between the thermal properties and the non-thermal or the biological. Industry, they're only concerned about the thermal. Scientists are concerned about the long-term, low-level, the non-thermal, like the biological aspect. And scientists say, look, there are the body's being harmed by radiation levels which are hundreds of thousands units lower than what Industry Canada is trying to protect us with. Is everybody comfortable with what I've said? Okay. Also, there's another thing called electrohypersensitivity, EHS. Okay. Scientists agree that in every society, typically 3% or more of people suffer from EHS. In Germany, it's 10%. Scientists actually say that this EMR is coming into our society so rapidly that by 2030, 50% of society will suffer from EHS. The symptoms of EHS, and some of you may have it already, disrupted sleep, fatigue, headaches, nausea, dizziness, heart palpitations, memory problems, and skin rashes. The illnesses related to EMR, and this is scientists all over the world agree on this. They go anywhere from many, many kinds of cancers, from leukemia, cancers of the head, especially with cell phones, which there's the evidence is overwhelming. Neurological conditions, ADD, attention deficit disorder. Barry Trower is a British military specialist who specialized in electronic warfare, microwave weapons. He made the statement that there is not a school anywhere on this planet that has allowed Wi-Fi in that is not having trouble with the children, the students, simply because of the electromagnetic radiation. Not a school in the world. Sleep disorders, depression, autism, and I'll tell you a lot more about autism shortly, which is scary. I mean, like, the more you educate yourself, the angrier you should get it, the way that we are being let down by our governments. I'll get into that later, too. Cardiovascular irregularities, hormone disruption, immune system disorders, metabolism changes, stress, fertility impairment, increased blood-brain barrier permeability, that's from cell phones, mineral disruption, DNA damage, and much, much more. And as I say, we're supposed to be covered by Safety Code 6. My daughter got me into this a year and a half ago. I've never forgiven her. But I spent literally hundreds and hundreds, probably more than 1,000 hours researching this on my own. And like, the more you look into it, the scarier it really is, without exaggerating. Dr. George Carlo, he led an industry-funded study in the U.S., the Cellular Telecommunication Industry Association, the CTIA, that's the whole U.S. industry, all the telecoms. There's Dr. George Carlo, he headed up one of their $25 million studies. And he found that their own studies found that cell phone use was causing brain tumors. Statistically, a significant doubling of brain cancer risk and a statistically significant dose response risk of acoustic neuroma with more than 6 years of cell phone use. In summary, he said that we come to the irrefutable conclusion that there's a major health crisis coming, probably already underway. Not just cancer, but also learning disabilities, attention deficit disorder, autism, Alzheimer's. I have two nieces, both single women, both in their probably mid-60s. One in Cranbrook, the other in Victoria. The one in Cranbrook advised me that her sister, my other niece, cousin, is just been prescribed with Alzheimer's. I immediately said, what kind of Wi-Fi does she have in her house? So her sister said, well, she has a Wi-Fi router and she has a cell phone. I said, immediately, get rid of that stuff. So we come to the irrefutable conclusion that there's a major health crisis coming, probably already underway, not just cancer, but also learning disabilities, attention deficit disorder, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and psychological and behavioral problems, all mediated by the same mechanism. That's why we're so worried. Time is running out. Eight years ago, in Switzerland, one of the major cell phone companies are called Swisscom. They admitted that Wi-Fi is dangerous to humans. The Korean War, 40,000 veterans have returned from the Korean War. They've done a study on them. Between 1950 and 1974, they looked at 40,000 veterans. They found that, and this is a very important word that I'm saying here, the cumulative effect. Because everything with EMR is cumulative. That which you expose your body to today will add on to what you do tomorrow and so on. So they say that all effects, all deaths, especially accidental and respiratory, they're doubling to tripling cancers of the eye, the brain, and central nervous system, lymphatic and hematopoietic and digestive system. This means that even weak and short exposures from wireless systems, like a cell phone, like your microwave oven, like a router, your remote control unit, your GPS, the satellites in the sky, that's all Wi-Fi, your AM FM radio station, your FM radio station. We didn't bother about this before because there wasn't enough of it and we didn't know much about it. But it's only within the last 30 years that the world has been engulfed. I just read today in the paper, I think there are 25 million Canadians have cell phones. We've all got a population, what, 33 million? Yeah. You know, 25 million. There are over 5 billion in the world. So this means that even weak and short exposures from wireless systems accumulate over the years and decades to engender serious diseases. In Switzerland, China, Russia, most people don't believe this, but it's true. In Switzerland, China, Russia, Italy, and Austria, and most Eastern European countries, their levels of radiation permitted are 100 times lower than Canada's. But if you talk to Fortis BC or BC Hydro, they'll tell you that they have the safest standards in the world, or one of the safest. They're talking thermal, everybody else is talking biological, like non-thermal. Okay? Dr. Thomas Rau, he's a medical director of the world-renowned Paracelsus Clinic in Switzerland, said in 2009, 3 years ago, he is convinced, that's 3 years ago, convinced electromagnetic loads lead to cancer, concentration problems, ADD, tinnitus, that's ringing in the ears, migraines, insomnia, arrhythmia, that's irregularity of the heart, the Parkinson's, and even back pain. And just last month, a major study came out, a 33-page study of which I have a copy. This is from, the report is called Safe Schools 2012. It's a 33-page report from medical authorities, medical doctors, and leading scientists all over the world who are essentially saying the same thing. No Wi-Fi in schools, no cell phones to kids especially, none like to pregnant women, to children. They have a much, much thinner skull than we have. We absorb far, far more than an adult does. And by the way, Safety Code 6 was based on a 200-pound man with a 10-pound head. It doesn't make allowance for a smaller woman, or a smaller head, or a child, a kid's, and that exposure is for 6 minutes only. Look it up for yourself. 6 minutes. Professor Ole Johansson, the Experimental Dermatology Unit, the Department of Neuroscience, and Karolinska Institute, it's the same institute that awards the Nobel Peace Prize. He's one of the heavyweights globally in terms of independent scientists. And he has said essentially that the EMF emitted by mobile phones, wireless devices, radar and radio, and TV broadcast, had they all been considered by the World Health Organization, like the WHO, they really should have classified EMR as a probable cause of cancer, not a possible cause. Dr. Annie Sasko, 3 Harvard degrees, PhD in epidemiology. She was the previous head of the International Association for Research in Cancer, which is an agency of the WHO. She had that up for 22 years. She said this year that there is concrete evidence, despite what Inzerk tells us, and I can actually read her words, she said that it is exceedingly urgent that valid, independent, publicly funded research be done into EMR via cell phone use. Despite the voices of industry-funded scientists saying otherwise, there is concrete evidence that mobiles, cell phones, and Wi-Fi, and that means like all of our little toys, including smart meters, cause cancer in humans. Later, at a separate forum, when she went to the London Conference on Cancer in Children, she said then that EMR should really be classified as a probable, not a possible. I ran across something just today, just by luck. In the US, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, back in 1990, 22 years ago, they came out and they said in a draft report, based on their studies, because they looked at something like 10 years of study, they came out with a recommendation 22 years ago that EMR should indeed be a probable cause of cancer. That was in the draft report. When industry and government and the software, the computer company heard of this, they immediately clamored all over the EPA and persuaded them to take back their study, reword their findings to make it far more benign. That was 22 years ago. Only on May 31st of last year did the WHO finally get enough people to stand up and be heard that they finally classified it as a possible carcinogen at UV. What you're hearing today about EMR and microwave Wi-Fi is very, very similar to what we all lived through with tobacco. Or this is far worse. With tobacco, if you smoke, I can at least shut my doors and windows. With EMR, I can't because it goes through walls. So if you have it in your house, I'm going to wear it, whether I like it or not. And with Wi-Fi, EMR, you can't touch it, can't feel it, can't smell it, you can't hear it. So therefore, we think it's harmless. It can't be a big issue, you know. Professor Darius Lisinski, Radiation and Nuclear Safety Authority in Finland, has warned about possible hazards of mobile phones for more than a decade. He was one of 30 experts at the IARC, the International Agency for the Research in Cancer, who last year classified EMR a 2B carcinogen. He says that there is enough laboratory evidence to support a 2A category, meaning like a probable. I don't want to tire you. I don't want to overdo it. Is everybody sufficiently satisfied that EMR is bad for you? Because, I mean, I can go on. I've got 12 pages of this stuff. And, but it's a highly, highly repetitive. Okay, yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I had to do EMR because you should never discuss smart meters until you know that it's just EMR. We've had cell phones for 30 years. Scientists have been able to study EMR, like cell phones, for 30 years. they can now say categorically that the evidence is overwhelming. There can be no dispute.
So why isn't it? Why isn't it in the public? How come we don't hear about it?
It's being suppressed. Look, I can't even get to the mayor in Kelowna, okay, and I've been to see him. I actually asked to see the mayor and council so I could talk to all of them. I didn't know it at the time. I thought he was actually favoring me because he said, oh, I'll see you like alone. And I thought, okay. So he gave me an hour of his time, which is double what I had been scheduled for. I find out after that the minute he had seen me, I'm suddenly ostracized. Like, and this, none of the counselors have written back to me. It's almost like there's a conspiracy there, and I use the words advisedly, but I've looked into his background. He owns several radio stations. He's on BC Transit, the Board of Governors. He's the director of various companies, so you always have to look at the money. Everything you see here, you have to look, who's paying for this? Who's benefiting from this? It's industry. Whether it's TELUS or Shaw or Rogers or Ford, they'll tell you what their transmitter will emit. They never mention an antenna. I have a radio background. You have to have an antenna, even on your cell phone. If you look, and again, I can show you where to look for yourself, it'll show you that the antenna has a 4 dB gain. A 4 dB gain means it doubles the power. So that which actually comes out of that doggone cell phone is like 2.5 watts. But they're only licensed for 1 watt. But they don't tell you this. I'll skip to the back. Is it about at least a dozen countries that have forbidden Wi-Fi in schools, but not Canada? Why not? If you anybody know the name Bernard Lord? Ring a bell? Bernard Lord, Queen's Counsel, Order of New Brunswick. He used to be the Premier of New Brunswick for 2 consecutive majority terms. Evidently an extremely good Premier. When his second term ended, and by the way, it's also known that he aspires to succeed Stephen Harper. Very, very strong in the PC party, of which I voted all my life, by the way. But when he found himself out of a job, he joined the law firm McCarthy Tetreault in Montreal. They moved an office to Ottawa so he could be close to government. He and Stephen Harper are like this, as are all of the senior PC members. He became the president and CEO, and he still is to this day, of the Canadian Wireless Telecommunications Association, CWTA. Look it up. He's the one that is pressing right across this country all public schools to have Wi-Fi. His mandate, look it up, his mandate is to explore new areas and grow Wi-Fi anywhere he can in the country. It's his people that are putting cell phone towers on top of hospitals, seniors' homes, long-term care homes, schools, anywhere they can. And the people are ignorant. I mean, I don't mean that unkindly. I mean, they simply don't know, but they're being exploited because they don't know. All I'm trying to be is a messenger. California, in 2005, they launched their own $7 million government-mandated study, the results of which prove that up to 95% certainty that leukemia is caused by EMS. Up to 80% certainty that brain cancer is related to EMS. And that was like 7 years ago. But I mentioned like the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, 22 years ago, they came out with this recommendation, and they were shut down. And like the more you look into it, the more you see that a government and industry are in bed with each other, and they're the ones that are making you and me stand up and be heard. Our worst enemy is silence. Our worst enemy is inaction. If you've got grandkids or kids.
Something that you said about the Wi-Fi passing through walls.
Yeah.
So even if you do make an effort to protect yourself and minimize the radiation, EMR,
yeah.
You can't protect yourself from everyone else around
you. That's right. And that's why as a community, you almost have to stick together. One of the reasons our government fights me and fights people like me and you is because they make such huge amounts of money off this wireless stuff. When they auctioned off, and they control the frequency like in Canada, and so they auctioned off to the utilities and to the telcos and whoever wants to use it, they make literally billions of dollars. They made over $4 billion the last time they auctioned off a spectrum. They're going to be auctioning off 700 megahertz later on, either this year or next year, and all the and that'll go through buildings further, and the signals go a lot further afield. You'll need fewer antennas, so the coverage is better, but it's more harmful to us.
Is there a safe limit?
The most reliable thing that doctors, everyone can agree on, is called the Bioinitiative Report. Okay, 2007, 15 scientists and policy experts got together, and they reviewed 2,000 reports and kind of distilled it all and came up with a 687-page report on EMR. This Bioinitiative report in 2007, they came up with this report, which is now held up more or less as a Bible or a reference book to all scientists around the world. And what that says is that in the case of Canada, we have to lower our standards by 10,000 times. I mean, that boggles my mind, and I have a radio background.
Say that again, please.
I'm sorry?
Say that again.
Like, we are radiating. Think of a tap in your kitchen. You open that tap, and so much water can come out. Well, they're saying that our tap is 10,000 times that one little spout. That's how much radiation we're getting compared to where we should be. 10,000 times, Canada. Most other countries, it's just 1,000 times. But we're one of the worst offenders because we only recognize the thermal, you see. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but okay, we have scientists in there here, then why do they only recognize the thermal?
Because of industry. If they didn't, the industry would have to go back and make a reshift in the design of all their equipment. It'd be a huge undertaking.
Huge cost.
They tell you it's very benign, worry-free, there's no risk. But when I explain it to you, it's the most dangerous piece of gear we've got out there of all the Wi-Fi stuff. If you look at the literature, and I've actually printed off their website, BC Hydro or Fortis BC will have you believe that their technology is safe and is benign. But they only talk about a smart meter as if it was sitting in the middle of the Sahara Desert all by itself. Nothing attached to it, no other meters, no other radiation. They don't tell you that every single smart meter has two transmitters inside. They're both wireless, they're both microwave, they both pulse, okay? And they will tell you that these meters pulse, or they don't even mention pulse. They say that they're active for maybe 4 minutes a day, giving you the erroneous impression, oh, geez, like they're inactive for 56 minutes. They got to be safe. I mean, what harm can you do? They don't tell you that they're pulse. In a California court of law, PG&E, which is Pacific Gas and Electric in Canada, that's the largest utility in California. It's one of the largest in the U.S. They were taken to court in California, and they were made under oath. They testified that the average smart meter, just the one radio, okay, the external radio that connects all the radios, okay, it's called the LAN, the Local Area Network Radio. That one alone emits on average, 14,000 pulses a day. 14,000 pulses a day. Up to a maximum, a normal max of 190,000 pulses a day. 190,000. And that's just this blinking radio. With nothing else, and I've got a lot more to tell you about that. But they've actually been observed to peak at 223,000 pulses per day. That's just my house. Let's just take this community here. Let's just say, for example, we had a couple of, how many?
Say around 300.
Okay, say 300. Every home is going to have a smart meter. Because, like, ultimately, my data and your data and everybody's data has to get back to the utility somewhere. BC Hydro, you know, 20 miles away, 50 miles away, whatever it is, okay? It has to do that. If you can't see directly, it has to do it by relays. Each of these meters will bounce their signal off every other home's meter as necessary, like a daisy wheel, until they eventually get down to what they call a collector, which BC Hydro never talks about. A collector is the most dangerous thing this side of sliced bread. I'm not telling you why. It's the collector that has, it's the only meter that has the actual connection to the communication back to the utility. And it does that on a third radio, which is called the wide area, like the wide area wireless network. And it's shared just by this collector meter and the utility. But all of your homes have to get all your data down to this collector, wherever that collector might be. Hydro doesn't tell you that collector might be on your house, or your house, or yours. They don't tell you that. And that thing is going all day long, transmitting all the data from all the homes to the utility, and the reverse is taking all the instructions from the utility back to all of your homes, all through that collector. That's on top of the radiation you're already getting from your own local area network radio. This other radio inside is called the Zigbee radio. The Zigbee has become a standard for the industry. It operates on 2.4 gigahertz, exactly the same frequency as your microwave oven. Exactly. The only thing is, the microwave oven is a continuous wave, whereas the Zigbee is all pulses. And something else, the only reason this Zigbee is in there is because utilities everywhere envisage a typical home having 15 or more smart appliances. When your furnace eventually expires, when your fridge eventually goes, when the fan on your bathroom goes, eventually they'll be replaced, they hope, with a smart appliance. Each and every single smart appliance has its own little wireless microwave radio, which they don't tell you about. And that little, every single one of those operates on 2.4 gigahertz. Every single one of those communicates back to the Zigbee inside your meter, day and night, not constantly, but like day and night, every single one of them. And they get challenged and they get instruction. And with this meter, Hydro or utility or BCI, whatever you want to call it, they can turn off your furnace, they can turn off your air conditioning, they can turn down anything you want remotely, and you have no control. You're not even aware of it. So the amount of radiation in your home, remember I said about an hour and a half ago, I said everything is cumulative? This is where it really comes in, because all this adds up. And that's what people don't, is a potpourri of EMR you're suffering under in your homes that Hydro doesn't talk about. I've gone to them, I've gone, you know, and I put letters in the editor. I'll be very honest, I sincerely doubt that any utility anywhere knows what a typical community endures where they have what they call their meshed grid network, where every home is connected wirelessly one to the other. Within every home, there are these 15 appliances, each of which is communicating back and forth day and night. That data has to get out of there through the other antenna, the other radio, back to the utility, day and night. Hydros don't, they don't know this. Nobody, you can only come up with a guesstimate, and my goodness gracious, we're scared to death. That's why I don't want anybody on putting a meter on my house. They don't know what they're doing. They really don't know. Like the CEO, Fowler, of BC Hydro, he's not a... this is the special... If it weren't for my background, I wouldn't know what I'm talking about either. But and I know lots of electronics engineers and a lot of electrical engineers and a lot of power engineers. They don't take EMR as part of the curriculum. Physics do, scientists do. Fowler has a business background. He probably has an MBA, maybe a BCom, but he knows nothing. He's probably going to have one in his house and he doesn't realize it. If you read BC Hydro literature, they will tell you, and on their website right now, if you go and have a look, they'll say that you can stand next to a smart meter for 20 years, literally 20 years, continuously, never move, and you'll experience the same amount of radiation as if you had a 30-minute cell phone conversation. We tell, that's on their website right now. They tell you that. That's the truth. But it's such a lie, it's absolutely preposterous. Like anybody with a background that thinks, how can you do that? There's a nuclear physicist in California, Santa Cruz.
Hirsch,
H-I-R-S-C-H. He has done a study. He's extrapolated the radiation from a cell phone, and we can compare it now with a smart meter. And a smart meter actually emits a minimum of 45 times more than a cell phone to a maximum of 450 times more. It depends on how close you are to that meter. If you're within 3 feet of that meter, the radiation level is 450 times one cell phone. But hydro would never, you know, they tell you you're crazy, but it's true. If you're the other side of that, your house, it'll be 45 times as much as the cell phone. But they're trying to tell you that they're benign and yes. The most powerful industry in the world today is the telecom industry. Its revenue last year was estimated to be something over $1 trillion. That's what you're fighting.
Province, I think I should say this, all over the province, people like you are stepping up to the plate and doing something in your communities. And we in BC should be very proud of what has happened, that so many in BC are informed more than any province. You know, I can talk to somebody in Ontario and they don't even know what a smart meter is. Now, California and Ontario were done quickly 2 years ago, or a little more than that. They had no chance to learn, and all of a sudden, all this was upon them. In BC, why do we know, why is it that there are people volunteering, going around the communities, trying to wake up people about this? The fact is that we have in Victoria, just so you know, it should make you feel good, we have two groups in Victoria, and one group mainly in Langley area, in Abbotsford. One is the Citizens for Safe Technology, and Una St. Clair runs that organization. They volunteer, they're electrosensitive people. They work with teachers, doctors, lawyers, people all over the communities that are trying to educate around this. Know that they've been working, I think Una's been 5 years at this. Sharon Noble in StopSmartMetersBC.ca, she may have been 8 years. She's been blowing the whistle on cell towers, Wi-Fi in schools, cell phones, trying to educate. And there are many teachers involved, many parents, but we don't have the funds. We all volunteer our time.